up, my fellow hustlers? Today on the show, I'm getting real with Olivia Griffin. You could call her an actress, you could call her a singer, a songwriter, a producer, but much like me, Olivia refuses to be put into just one box. So for our purposes, let's call her an entertainment artist. Griffin is a force to be reckoned with, y'all, and you don't have to wait to see her in action because girl is always releasing fresh content on her Instagram. On this episode, besides bonding over growing up melanin in the Midwest, we talk about the hashtag booked and blessed glow, the post-contract slump, balancing survival jobs and auditions, and what to do while we're quote-unquote waiting. We also get into her current passion projects, including the Young, Gifted, and Black Initiative through Iris Productions. If you are in need of some inspiration to get off your ass and hustle, then stay tuned because we're about to get into it. Thanks for listening.
Some background. So yes, I moved here in July 31st of 2016. Mm-hmm. I've literally graduated that spring, did my summer stock over the summer, and 2 weeks after the summer stock, moved, was subletting from an alumni in Astoria, literally down the street from where we are right now, like mm-hmm. 9 streets down, so that was perfect. The week I moved here, booked a show that was going to make my rent and got an agent. The hustle didn't hit me till a little bit after, because the show I was doing was, I don't want to say it, wasn't a very good musical, but it paid enough. It was like $400 a week, and it was on taxed check, so like I was paying like $750 or $800 or something to live. Mm-hmm. So you know, I had that taken care of, and then I had an agent, which was something I like wanted, and so I felt like, okay, it's gonna just be like this. I'm just gonna go, I'm gonna book this tour, I'm gonna book this Broadway, I'm gonna, you know what I mean, like I just thought it was gonna be like a much quicker journey. But yeah, once that ended, I definitely like was brought down to like, okay, it might happen overnight for some people.
Sure.
But for me, it didn't. So one thing I definitely would like to share is something they don't tell you in college is that you really, really are going to have to spend over half of your time in New York. You're spending not doing theater and not doing music, not doing acting, not... You're spending it making your rent, and you might not be able to make your rent doing performing. You know what I'm saying? So like, and that's just like
most of the time.
Yeah,
most of the time.
You're not
making your rent. Yeah. Because
like, if you are, it can be like, I mean, because I have part of my job is like I like play guitar for like musical tots, like a little kid's music thing. Yeah. But even I couldn't like live off of that. You don't get enough classes, you know. So if I was like, oh, I only want to be making money from guitar playing. From singing, it's like, no, I have to, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so, it's definitely not as, the journey's not what I thought it was gonna be, but I think it's actually better.
Good.
And this is, like, a recent, like, realization.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you feel about, I mean, for me, the industry right now is, like, not as creative, necessarily. I think it's, like, I'm seeing something about, I actually was talking to a friend, so there's a show that's running right now, and they had a light skin, you know, 5'7" black female leave the show. Mm-hmm. And so when they were looking for a replacement, they were looking for a light skin, thin black female. Because like once it's like, if you're not in the original cast, it's kind of like, you kind of feel like you're just filling in the like person who were the trying to be a carbon copy of that original person.
It's wild. It's wild. Are there any roles that you were like, this is the role for me, like this is a perfect role for me, and have seen it played by someone who does not seem to be like your character type or someone who you don't really see yourself?
That happens all the time. I think when you like don't book something and then you see who did book it, a lot of times it's definitely not like
it's shocking.
You're like, oh, they went with that. So I think that helps too, because I think I'd feel worse if it was like a literally 5'3", 180 pounds, has a pingy voice, Michigan.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'd be like,
close. I was right. You know, I just missed it.
But a lot of the stuff that I've been, especially stuff when you're like your heart's into it, mm-hmm. and you like, you know, you work through your head of why you would be so good at that part and why it connects to you. And why, but like when you see who does get it and they're not you, like very much are not you, it's mm-hmm. like actually I think easier.
You say that you, when you first moved in 2016, you quickly had a reality check about, you know, it might take a little bit longer for this hustle to be realized. What were some...
So for me, like, so I was represented and I had booked that contract that was like a non-union contract. And so basically I was in the city, I was non-union, no UMC points, mm-hmm. I wasn't even getting seen at a lot of auditions because they also don't tell you when you sign with an agent that, like, you might not be the most number one client.
Sure.
That they're, you know.
Sure.
So, like, right now, having been with my agent for over 2 years, I am confident that I get appointments.
Yeah.
And, like, I have a good relationship with them where I can, you know, email them if I see something and I want to be submitted and mm-hmm. stuff, talk to them. But when you first sign, like, I haven't given them any money. You know, I haven't booked anything.
Right.
So I'm really not at the top of their roster. That was a huge struggle, just like figuring out how to maintain living here rent wise mm-hmm. and try to audition, because the way it's set up is it's like for a non-union actor, you're auditioning, it can be all day. So you kind of have to just not work those days.
Yeah.
But it's so disheartening when you go and you not even get seen. So you might be going to something that you think you're so perfect for this show and you're super prepared. You've done all of those things, the checklist of like preparing for the audition and stuff, but then you don't get seen. And I mean, I'm still not in union, but I have points now and like I get more appointments. Like things have like moved a little more forward for me and like have made more relationships with casting directors. Yeah. But when you first get here, it's like I say everything in New York is a secret till you know it. So you're like... Everybody knows and they're not like keeping it from you, but they're like, oh, you didn't know that this person likes this type of song, or like, oh, you didn't know that, like, I don't know, like how people just know the ways, like, there's so much of that I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know about Audition Update until I got here.
Right.
You know?
God bless.
I didn't know about Audition
Update. Thank God for Audition Update.
Honestly. You know? Honestly. The people helping the people.
People.
Truly. I didn't know that at EPAs. You do not have to go fully beat when you go to sign up.
Oh
in the
my
morning.
God! Don't you feel
That's
so
a classic,
stupid?
It's a classic.
You feel so stupid.
A classic mistake.
Truly,
everybody knows when you walk in, they're like, "Oh, they just got off
she's
the bus."
She's new. Right?
Yep,
like,
They'll
that
get
is
it.
So true. Literally, I don't even like. I mean, my hair's out right now, but sometimes if I'm wearing a wig, I don't even. It's like braids in, wig in the bag. Like I'm not even gonna try.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know if I'm getting seen.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm going to wait and just have you tell me.
You let me know.
You should go to as many auditions as you can, of course. And like, part of that is a learning curve too, because you get out of school. I think I thought that I was an amazing auditioner, but having taken class in New York and done 1.5 million auditions, I'm like, oh God, when I first moved here, I wasn't even singing like the rep that I sing now.
Yeah.
I was not as... I don't know, there's just like a comfortableness and like a confidence that I think I have now.
Yeah.
Having lived here for years, that when I first got here fresh out of school, I don't know, it was not representing myself very much in auditions. Sure. I was being like, well, this is how this person wants you to sound in this thing and this, you know what I'm saying? Like trying to fit. I think if you want to be, like, I have Barbra Streisand on my wall. If you want to be Barbra Streisand, you can't fit a mold. Like, you got to be your own person, but then... For everybody who's auditioning for that person's role, you got to be that person.
It's the juxtaposition of being in the theater business is that you are encouraged to be yourself. And you must, I think, in order to attract attention to yourself and to be remembered, you know, compared to the hundreds of other people who audition for these roles, you have to be memorable. You have to be unique. You have to bring something specific about yourself. To the table that is different from everybody else, but at the same time, in preparation for each audition, you're looking at a character description that lays out some really key, you know, qualities or characteristics of the role that you're going in for. Do you have any advice about staying true to yourself, but also being what the person in the room wants?
Yeah, I would say doing the proper, like, research
of
what is the show you're doing, what's the style of music, because, like, there's being yourself, but then there's also like, okay, if you're going to an audition for Oklahoma, don't take in a Jasmine Sullivan cut. You know what I mean? Like, like I know that might be your go-to cut, but like, don't take that. Like, I sing White Boys From Here all the time, but like, I'm not going to sing it if I'm going in for Brigadoon. You know what I mean? So like, knowing that, but then also like, when you, like, if I go in for... I don't know, this pop rock show, I don't need to try to change my voice. to an like change my voice from the timbre that it has, or like sing something you like, a song you like to sing, you know. Even if they're asking for an 80s rock song, and honestly you have a 90s rock song, but if you love that 90s rock song and you don't even know an 80s rock song, sing the 90s rock song and sing it fiercely, because you know what I mean, like it's that type of thing, like just actually doing rap you like, because at the end of the day, more times than not, you're not going to get the job, and you have taken this time and this heightened energy to audition. So at least do something. It's your one chance to perform. At least do something you like.
Yes. You know, if you're going to get up early in the morning and trek all the way to Midtown. Right,
exactly.
Knowing full well that there's a very good chance that you're not going to get seen, or you're, you know, you're going to be one of, you know, hundreds. Sing something you love. Do something that you love. Yeah.
And likewise, even if you're, you know, you're listening to this, you come into this, you're already union, you got an appointment already for this, like, you still, more times than not, are not getting the job. Because that's the nature of, like, you're going to go to 100 auditions and get one of those jobs.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how, even, it doesn't even matter where you are, that's how the most top people have a million stories of not getting it.
Sure.
You know, so... Mm-hmm. Just at least like enjoying your time.
Absolutely.
I think is important.
So let's move a little bit away from theater. And let's talk about when did you first start to kind of dip your toes into something outside of the audition room? When did you start branching out?
Having a thing besides theater, honestly, for me, started in high school. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take it back.
Yes,
when I was in high school... There was some, you know, it's the typical, like, high school politics going on. And so there was some politics where I was being cast as corn or something in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not have any time for it. So I actually started writing songs. I remember specifically there was a show in the summer. And I dropped out of that show. And it was like, this is the first, I've never, even to this day, I've never, like, dropped out of anything. Like,
yeah.
When I commit to something, I do it. So I was like, I had to make that summer, like, while they were at rehearsal for 5 hours, I was like, I'm rehearsing, I'm playing piano all day, I'm, you know what I'm saying? So I really started, like, writing songs back then.
Mm-hmm.
And so then when I got to college, kind of, honestly, the same thing kind of happened to me, where it wasn't nearly the same as in high school, but after, I got in a great number of shows in college, and by the end, once I was a junior, if there's a show that I didn't need to be in, I felt that I did not need to audition and have them, like, maybe put me in the ensemble and have me be there every single night. So I started doing songwriting classes and, like, independent study. So through the song, like, that was always, like, a supplement to doing theater. So that was also creative. So it was another outlet that was on my career path, because I definitely don't want to be... It's not like I don't want to just be theater, but yeah, I don't want to be just be theater. I want to be doing music and writing and TV and, you know, hosting stuff. It's like I want to be like an entertainer.
Yes.
And so I think if you just throw your eggs in one basket and that basket goes wrong, then you've spent all these years not nurturing anything else. And like, that's a fear I have. Time goes so quickly in your 20s already. I'm 24 and it feels like, oh my God. I'm about to be 30 tomorrow.
Yeah.
So what if all I do between now and being 30 is go to auditions?
Or do something that somebody else has written or somebody else has created.
Oh my God.
Because there is an artistic element to, you know, taking what somebody has written and putting your own spin on it as, you know, an artist, but creating something yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's something really...
And it's amazing. Honestly, you feel, I have found, and this is kind of what I said earlier about, like, some of this journey is kind of for the better. I feel more creative, I think, when I do all these other things, because I have, like, real creative control on it, if that makes sense. So, like, an example I shouldn't put out there.
Please.
So I was doing, over the summer, I did Anne of Green Gables musical.
Yes, you did.
It was amazing, super fun. But it was, like, hit me, because on the contract, people were really stressed out, because we were like, oh, like, Goodspeed's in the audience today, or Denver Center's in the audience, and, like, this producer's coming, like, so we knew that the show, and I think the show's amazing, so it will have a life, and so you didn't know if you were a part of that life.
Right.
And everybody in the cast talked about that, about like, oh yeah, when they do it on Broadway and like we're not in it. And you, it like gets to you. But I was like sitting there, I was like, they could get a new director, they could get a new choreographer, but they're not going to get new writers. And that's something I always like, because those, they're in control. If they want to change something about the show, they can. If they don't like how this character is, they can just change it. But when you're just doing acting, there's a certain amount of like confinement that that exists. And so through like being in New York, I've working on musicals that I've been writing. Still definitely writing my own music, songs, and I've been getting into producing.
Nice.
So just trying to like do all of these things, because I think the worst thing that can happen is not do any of these things or try them and then realize, because you could, the thing about theater is you could get on Broadway tomorrow and A, the show closes, or B, realize you don't even want that. Maybe you don't want to do 8 shows a week for 25 years.
Sure.
35 years, 40 years, whatever it is, you know? So like, maybe you want to be doing something else. And for me, that something else might not be my survival job. So I'm trying to like nurture all of these things. Because like in a decade, I want to just be living off of solely entertainment. Mm-hmm. Not nothing else. Just creating work, you know?
Yeah. Do you feel like they all help each other hand in hand? Like, do they, they assist each other?
Oh my gosh, yes. Because even, you know, I've thought, oh, like, what if I hadn't have gone to school for musical theater and I did music?
Or yeah.
But I'm like, no, I needed to do that because honestly, doing a musical, you know, you learn about your sight reading music. You're doing dancing. Mm-hmm. You're doing acting. And the acting skills that you use when you're, like, blocking a scene in a musical, you use when you're doing a play. Seeing, being in a new musical, you see what works and what doesn't work. So then you can go home and write, and you like have, you're like, no, something won't work
because
you've done it in the room, in rehearsal. I mean, this past weekend, I'm actually in a horror movie right now. And I was like on set, and like, honestly, I still use, even though like they're two different, you know, mediums of acting, you can say, you still like the skills that, A, I play guitar and sing in the musical. Yes. So That in and of itself booked that.
Love that.
And then B, it's like, you really do use, like, you know, knowing how to cheat. Like, all of those things that you do in theater, you're doing them in film and TV. You're just doing them on, in a different way.
For sure.
But it's still the same skill of acting. And again, seeing all of those things just informs your writing. Because, you know, seeing what works and what doesn't work in that, I'm like, okay, so if I'm writing my this thing, maybe I would make the character have it be her decision instead of being the guy's decision for her to do this. You know, like you like pick up on things from being in the
absolutely.
Room.
Absolutely.
As an actor, you just pick up on those things and then you can take them home and be like,
That's so true. I mean, you, especially with theater, I chose musical theater to study in college because it allowed, you know, me to, I had to train in both acting, singing, and dancing, which I thought was amazing. And then along the way, you learn other things too. Like you observe the director and you're like, oh, what are they doing?
Right.
Like, what are their different responsibilities? And you can dip your toes in things. And I think that's so amazing. And I feel that same spirit.
You do. From we you. Have that same spirit.
Yeah. And I just that in whatever capacity, like we're doing something. As Rory O'Malley says in his podcast,
Live in the Dream. It's a good podcast.
So great, Rachel, so great. But he talks about, you know, making your own shit. And for me, it's like making it happen, like just making it happen. In general, you make it happen for yourself every day. It's you're the first person who tells you what to do, you know? And so I think that's just such an amazing energy that I get from you. And I love that.
Part of the spark of like a random time that like, so I did this contract at Bucks County Playhouse. It was like great. Like most of the cats were like Broadway people or like had these great credits.
That's right. You did Rocky Horror.
Yeah. I did Rocky Horror Show. And so I got back from that. You know how when you get back from a contract, you have this energy.
The glow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're like,
the booked a blessed glow.
Yeah. I was the only non-union one there, so I really felt equity. I really felt cool. No, but I felt like, oh, I held my own in this show. Mm-hmm. So, like, and I was a part. You know, I played Magenta, so I was like, okay, I'm going to come back, I'm going to audition, I'm going to book everything, and, like, I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think, like, when I came back and I wasn't right away, and I came back, it was, like, the end of October, of course, mm-hmm. so it's already went into Thanksgiving, Christmas. Right. So of course I wasn't, like, now looking back, of course you weren't going to book
something
right
away. Which is, you know, a very dead, for those who don't know, is a very dead audition.
Right.
But also if you haven't booked a holiday job by then, like, you're hanging out in the city for the winter.
Exactly.
You're chilling.
Exactly. I was literally just talking about that now. I'm like, yeah. I'm going a few auditions, but I know, like, it's pad your bank account now, because, like, in the winter you come back, mm-hmm. winter, spring is, like, hit it with those auditions.
From, like, January to March, that's heavy.
Yeah, you're like dying. You're just auditioning. Mm-hmm. So, that being said, I kind of was like, I had so much, like, before, like, the story of Rocky Horror, let me just tell this.
Yeah.
So I got an appointment for this from my agent. I was at work at my survival job. And I look, and the appointment was for, like, whatever day of the week, the next week. And I was already scheduled at my job. And I said no to the appointment. And so I was like, because I just couldn't get it covered. Yeah. So I, like, made up, which is bad. I literally, like, made up an excuse of, like, I'm out of town, which I was out of town, like, a few days later. But literally, like, I could have, like, in like, me now, if I get an email right now, my agent says, oh, you have an appointment for next week, Wednesday. And, like, all I had on Wednesday was my survival job. Right now, I would say, I can confirm the appointment. And then I would find coverage for my survival job.
We will take care of it.
Yeah. Right. But I was like, you know, honestly, hadn't booked anything in so long, and the thing I had booked before them was so unfulfilling, you know, we're not even going to touch mm-hmm. on it, it just was one of those bad theater experiences, so I was like, I just didn't care about it, so I just didn't do that, so then they were like, can you send in a self-tape, and so when I went to even do the self-tape, I had been working at this summer camp with kids, mm-hmm. like yelling, using my voice in an incorrect way. I couldn't even sing the song fully. Like, so, like, I had to, like, flip into my mix. Yeah. Like, caught in a sandwich. Like, and, like, that was, like, it made it out that it was a choice, but really it's because my belt wasn't there. Because I was so, being so unhealthy all summer. And then, like, the fates, like, knew that, like, the Lord knew that I needed that job at that moment to, like, remind me of why I moved here. Like, why you moved here to perform. And so, basically, when I saw that, after I came back and wasn't really getting anything for a minute, because in New York, honestly, a month of not getting no callbacks, can if you go to a lot of auditions, it can feel very, like, oh, my God, nothing's sticking. What am I doing? But then I was like, I want no one to feel this, that like the casting directors here or anywhere control whether you are allowed to perform. Mm-hmm. Like, that's great that you audition for them and they can give you, they're in a position to give you a job if they see you as fit and the director, like the team. But like, if those things don't line up or if there's not a job that you fit, then, like, do your own job, because, like, you shouldn't not be performing, and, like, I realized that after that job, I'm like, this is what I love to do, so I shouldn't not be doing my own shows or doing a concert and stuff, because, you know, these 10 people told me that, and it's not even, because it's not even, like, a personal thing, they weren't like, we don't want Olivia to be booked. It was just there's only so many slots.
Yes.
And so you just don't know how long. I mean, truly, like, I could go to an audition tomorrow and book, like, and be gone from the city and be, like, on another trajectory.
Yeah.
Or you can go and just, it's another one of your million auditions.
Right.
So don't wait. There's no use. There's no use in saying, I'm not gonna, if you want, and that's kind of segue into Young, Gifted, and Black. It was like, don't wait to, like, because you don't know how long you're going to be waiting.
Right.
Truly.
Well, and that's the thing, is that what is waiting? I kind of hate the term waiting, because it implies that you're still, like, there's a stillness, there's a stagnant period before the greatness, you know, where it's just nothing is happening. It's dead space. It makes it harder. And here, you know, in the hustle, knuckle deep in the hustle, like, it, whether it be in New York, whether it be in Chicago, whether it be in LA, whether it be anywhere, you can't just sit around and wait for the opportunity. Hamilton taught us that, you know.
Truly.
That you really can't. It doesn't work out that way, because while you are waiting, there are 100 people who are just like you.
And they're not waiting.
And they're not waiting. They're finding other opportunities. So you have to find your other opportunities.
Right.
You still have to be seen, you know. And so Young, Gifted, and Black. Ugh. This stemmed from, you said it stemmed from not waiting.
Yeah, truly not waiting. So the idea, so Young, Gifted, and Black, for those who don't know, it's just, we've had our first launch of it. It's going to be a concert series featuring Young, Gifted, and Black performers in the city or where, you know, wherever. Maybe it'll tour one day, like, you know, who knows. But, yes. Like, I just wanted it to be a way to give Young, Gifted, and Black people a platform, because I'm not going to get too shady, but I will say I do not see very many mediocre Black people in the city. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying I see other mediocre people, but you don't, if you're Black, you would not make it into a theater program and moved here and still be auditioning and maybe even have booked jobs. You, like, that would not have happened. You wouldn't be in the room. You know what I'm saying? There's a certain, like, fierceness about you that had to happen for you to even be here.
Yeah.
So usually, like, if we're at an all-Black audition, everybody sounds fierce. Everybody is slang. So there's like when people think all Black people can dance, it's not because they can all dance, but there's like a confidence that a lot of them have just had to have.
Yeah.
So like if you're confident and you're fucking up the dance moves, but you're being confident, like, you get what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
So when I would see that and I was like, oh my God, who are these people? And like, where are their jobs? I was like, so I definitely wanted to like showcase these people. And yeah. So, I mean, even when I was, so we did our last concert was September 18th. Mm-hmm. It's at Green Room 42. It was a huge success. It was so, so exciting, so fun. And I hosted it with Wesley J. Barnes. And it was so, so, so fun. And it was produced by Iris Productions, which we will talk about that. Cause that's a whole,
yes, honey,
whole other thing. But it definitely, like, there's just an endless amount of Black talent in the city and people need to see it, you know? And so in the long run, I mean, when I phase out of being Young, Gifted, and Black, to me, maybe I'll always be young, but
you Black get, don't crack.
Honey. Right, Black we don't crack, that, right? I'm like 75. I'm like, Young, forever. Gifted, and Black.
Nah. Young at heart, okay?
Right, Young in heart, Gifted, and Black.
Okay.
But like, even, I mean, I want to be able to use it as a platform of like, having like a showcase type of opportunity, like, oh, you just moved to the city. Let me have some representatives, have some agents in the audience so they can, like, I want to help the community, because, like, the community, the entertainment community is not run by Black people. We know this. Like, there are Black people who are running things, but the industry is not run by Black people, so we need to help each other out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, We have to. Because if you don't help each other out, we stronger together. The Hillary Clinton slogan, yes, but like, it is true, Sister Hillary.
Well, just in general, when people help people out, you create, you know, you're still creating. And you're mm-hmm. creating opportunities for yourselves. That's just anybody can take that. If you're waiting, if you're sitting around waiting, you need to make an opportunity for yourself.
Right. Oh my gosh.
And having that, a vehicle to do that, like Young, Gifted, and Black, is incredible. It's amazing. It's inspirational.
Super fun. I'm excited. And another thing regarding Young, Gifted, and Black. So I had been like talking about this cabaret for literally ever. And mm-hmm. I became a founder of a production company called Iris Productions, that's a whole separate thing we'll talk about. But it kind of like pushed me a thing. Iris, like, we have these programmings with incubating ideas and interacting with other people. And a thing that we had talked about at Iris was like setting dates for things. And like, because honestly, Young, Gifted, and Black, I've been talking about this since before I got to New York. The idea of like doing a cabaret called Young, Gifted, and Black. Originally, it was gonna be me, just like Young, Gifted, and Black. I'm here.
Yeah.
But like, you know, when you kind of think about it, you're like, but everybody, Young, Gifted, and Black is about the community.
Yes.
That song is about community.
Yes.
And so, if I didn't set the date, it truly would not have happened. So our next one is December 11th. Just putting that out there.
Yes.
It'll be all over social media. And
absolutely.
Stuff. But yeah, so it's starting like setting dates and making that stuff happen. So if you're at home and you've been saying that, like, you want to do a solo show really bad, set a date. You're writing a play you haven't finished, and you want to do a reading of it, set a date. Mm-hmm. Set a date for it to be finished, for the draft to be finished. Like, because if you don't set dates for things, a lot of times they're going to get pushed and pushed. But when I have a deadline of, like, oh, my God, I have to have this done in a month. So I have no choice but to get it done.
Yeah.
You do it. And I do that with everything now, with like setting, really trying to set dates and like times for stuff.
Well, and that's so true because, I mean, every day I get up and before noon I have like, I've been thought of at least six things that I want to do, you know, six dreams that I have, six things that I would love to accomplish, or, you know, people that I would love to talk to, or jobs that I want to apply to, or songs that I want to learn, you know, just all sorts of dreams and wonderful, wonderful things that I would like to happen to myself, but they will stay dreams,
because it's like, oh, it's almost overwhelming. I talked about this last night. Like, I have a million, literally, I have 30 million projects, like a web series, a musical, a children's show,
yeah,
you know, a children's book, a children's web series,
yeah,
your survival job, you know what I mean? Like, you're always doing these things. I have one person show, mm-hmm. and then like, it's like you don't have to do it all at once, which is another thing, like, people listening. Don't feel like you have to do everything at once. Even mm-hmm. moving here. You can move here and figure out how to pay your rent. Yeah. And then start auditioning.
Yes.
And there's nothing, it's going to be here. Like, you're not like, oh my God, I didn't go to this audition. So like, I missed my hope, the only opportunity. I'm like, nah, they're going to have a required call.
New York is going to be here.
They don't tell you that. When you, even like when I look back, sometimes I'm like, maybe I would have benefited from taking a little more time at home or something in between college. Because I moved here with my boxes from my college apartment. So, like, I didn't even unpack from college. I just picked those brown boxes up and came here.
Yeah.
It's okay to take time. It's okay to not do something. And when you get here, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to, like, you don't have to feel like, oh, I have a degree in musical theater, so I have to be on Broadway. No. Right. What if you get here and you find out you want to be a casting director and you want to go do an internship, and that internship is going to take you away for six... It's basically, maybe you can't audition for 6 months. Cool. Go do that.
Yeah.
Go get another skill set. You want to be a real estate agent so that you have something to do when your show closes.
Sure.
Get that license.
It's all part of the hustle.
Exactly.
It's all part of the hustle.
And it's okay to like take time away from it, because you're going to burn out too.
Yeah.
All you're doing is going and not getting seen, or going and getting no's, and then you're like so tired. You haven't, because the more auditions you go to, let's be honest, the more you go to auditions, the less rent you make.
True.
And the more scrapped you get for money. And they say money can't buy happiness.
Yeah.
But we do know when you get scrapped for money and you are like, you are struggling. Yeah.
Life is no fun.
Yeah, life is no fun.
Especially in New York. You know?
Especially in New York.
There's always options.
Right. I'm just saying, take care of yourself, because life is so much big. You are so much bigger than like some regional acting job that you might not get. You probably won't get, even if you're good for it, because they probably cast some local person. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, do it, but like, let it, you got to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You got to put your health first.
Yeah.
Your mental health.
Yeah.
Your physical health, you know?
Well, and that's what I love, and what I've found so much about people that I know who, in addition to working on the theater career as, you know, as performers or as writers or whatever, they also have their own passion projects or their own ways that they create or, you know, ways to make themselves feel artistically whole, which is so great, because I think that as professional artists, when you think about marketing yourself and branding yourself and putting yourself into these slots for musical theater, for the theater industry, the success is getting booked, you know, in our minds. Like, that's what we find is that's the highlight. That's the milestone, is having the job, getting paid to do the work. But a lot of the time in our career is spent not doing that, especially for the first few years. There's going to be a lot of time when you're not booked and blessed, more time than when you are.
Yeah.
And it's what, you know, what do you do in those moments? It's not that you're unsuccessful, you know, it's just that you're working on, you're constantly hustling, working on your goals, working on your dreams. And it can be very difficult to find joy in that, to find joy in getting up every morning and like feeling so uncomfortable and feeling like you just have to, you know, it's the rat races trying to figure out what you're going to do to forward yourself today, you know, on this day, and then how you're going to do it tomorrow.
Yeah. Part of it is like, that's a job, you know, like it becomes that, so that you can, because maybe auditioning is not your passion or is not like your brings you the most happiness in life, still do it. But like you wanted to have stuff that you're creating and like you want to be. And you know what I loved, segueing back to Young Gifted Black, I love is like a lot of times you will find like when you create your own work, you go do a cabaret, you go do an open mic night, you go do karaoke with your friends. There's like you're not confined to like someone's image or perception of you or a part. You can sing things out of context and not feel like you're being an asshole in the room. You know what I mean? You can gender bend and not feel weird, which you shouldn't feel weird about. It's 2018, but like, you get what I'm saying? Like you can just show yourself in a way that like is really freeing and just, it's just for fun. And I think all of us got into entertainment. Most people who are in entertainment did it for fun. Even if you're a camera operator, you probably sat with your little camcorder in 2002 and were enjoying making movies of your family. Yes. And now you're a camera. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Now you work at NBC or whatever.
I don't know if I've ever met someone in the theater industry who was like forced to get into this business.
Right.
You know, most people, it came from a passionate point. Yeah.
And so we're just the ones who were crazy enough to still do it.
Right. Like we were like, we're going to try to make money off of this for as long as possible.
Right. But like, you know, it's like that thing, like a lot of other industries, like if you were doing soccer and then it wasn't fun anymore, your parents would just tell you don't do soccer.
Yeah.
Cause like a lot sports, what's like, what makes sports, I was talking about this with my parents, what makes sports different is like, you know, How many opportunities is there for a football player to be a football player and not be in the NFL?
Mm.
But like as an actor, you can be an actor and not be on a network television show.
Right.
Or on Broadway. Right. Like you can there's just so much like fluidity in the career. You should be having fun doing it because it's not like it's not something you got to just quit because like there's only one thing you can be part of.
And finding the part of the business that makes you happy because you don't have to do everything. You don't have to do all musicals. You don't have to do all plays. You don't have to do all sorts of television. You don't have to have goals like that. You can make your goals very specific.
Right.
You can, through exploration, through experience, you find that you work best in a specific corner of the market, you know, rather than
doing these experiences. You might like see stuff. I actually, this weekend doing the movie, I was talking to the makeup artist because me and her were like hit it off. And I was like, she just seemed like, you can just tell when you're a musical theater person. Cause like, even like when you're on set, I've been doing like, when you do some of those jobs, when you're on set with like TV, there is a different energy that like, even if you're in a straight play, like musical theater people have a certain energy. And so this girl was giving me those vibes and I was like, tell me about yourself. Like, tell me. And she did live in New York for 5 years and was an MT. She has a degree in musical theater and she ended up going to LA. And while she was in LA, she did like a makeup cosmetology thing for movie makeup and it took her like 6 months. She got that and now she works and like she does makeup for senators and like she lives out of DC and like I don't know, she didn't like close herself off to an opportunity and like I think she's very happy doing, I mean, she seemed very happy and she gets great work.
Sure.
And it's like just because she had studied musical theater, she can still come back to that. She can still, and it's gonna be there.
Right.
You know, it's cool that she has all these other tricks now because
all these other skills, you know? Yeah,
she can do that. She can go. I was like envious because I'm like, wow, I used to work at Sephora for a minute there. Like, I wish I had that licensing.
Yeah.
So I could, I mean, I probably can't do makeup as good, so I do need to go study it. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was still like, cool. Like, if you go and do a show, I mean, shows just close, or you're not, maybe you're not gonna be in Phantom for 20 years. Like, it's gonna be there, but you might not be in it for 20 years. Having something else that you do enjoy in your wheelhouse, like
that still lends itself towards the business.
She's in the business,
she is still here. She's on the pulse.
She's cool, you know, she's on the sets for like these big TV shows and heck, even the movie we're doing, it was hip. We're doing like a horror movie, it's so fun. Incredible. The makeup and stuff,
it's incredible.
And I was like, that's such a great idea. You know, you meet those people. I was like, you weren't like, okay, I'm here for 5 years and I'm going to be here for five more years unfulfilled and not working. No, like, take life into your own hands.
Yes.
So.
I love that. I love that. I love meeting musical theater people. You can spot them. You really can spot them from a distance.
You could stop doing theater for 20 years, but you're always going to be that musical theater person.
Oh, yeah. For sure. For sure. I was working one of my hustles is being a temp, and I was working a temp job this past weekend.
I've been with a temp agency.
Love it.
I just applied to one again.
Love it. Time to get back
in administrative.
Okay, come through flexible administrative work.
Hey.
But I was working this past weekend, and this is not the first time this has happened, where I'm working with someone, and we're chit-chatting, and, you know, friendly conversation, and then it's like, are you an actor?
They are.
And then all
they
100%
the, yes.
are. And then all the gags come out, all the receipts come out. And it's great.
And
it's
you have 20 mutual friends you didn't know about.
Yes.
How did you know what that
means? It ended up that we were both from Ohio. And, you know, we were both from, like, literally the same area, from Columbus area. She went to school around that area, and I was born in that area. And it's just so interesting. She knew someone. She went to school with people that I grew up right down the road from.
That's
crazy.
For those listening,
we need to talk about that.
We did not even know we listened.
Talk about that.
We have, like, worked at the same places.
Yes.
Have a million mutual friends.
Yeah.
But truly, like, we met 2 weeks ago. Like, we met in an elevator or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But like, I knew who you were because I was like, oh, hey, like you know, and we already followed each other on social media.
Yeah.
But we never, like, even this conversation, really, this is our second long talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other than, like, oh, break legs, girl.
Right, like, black girls in the industry.
Exactly. Like, I see girl, but, like, I never, like,
comments
hung
on
out
Instagram
with you.
Posts. You
right,
know,
like,
get
oh,
it, girl,
get
like,
it, right,
love
right.
you, queen, you know, and that's. I mean, it's the reason that I started this podcast. It's the reason that one of the reasons that I love living in the city. It's one of the reasons that I moved to the city is that the camaraderie between mm-hmm. people in the industry it's crucial and it is so beneficial.
Oh my God.
And it benefits you on a personal level, but also on a professional level, because I know for a fact, at least for me, that the people that I stay in contact with, the people that I check in with, the people that check in with me, we're working. Like, we're working, we're building
networks. You, like,
works.
When you're around those, we said that earlier, like, when you're around, like, people who are, they have a forward motion to them, you are drawn to that forward motion.
And
it makes you be forward.
Yeah.
Even if you're not forward in the same way, you're like, oh, shit, they're, like, they're trucking along, they're doing this thing, they're posting this thing. You're like, okay, like, that energy is infectious.
Yeah.
It really is.
Here's the gag. Hustlers attract.
Like, they do.
That
I love it.
Hustlers attract. They
hustlers attract.
And we build each other up. We build each other up and we give each other tips. I learned so many things from just friends. I think I've learned more about the business and just about, you know, building myself as a performer from being here and from talking to other performers than maybe what I learned in school.
Yeah, I think school is, like, the best thing you can do to learn the craft.
Yes.
Like, because you got to know how to act.
Good technique.
Know, how to. And, like, half of college and theater school, at least for me, was, like, you get out of high school and you come into college. Just to be a good actor, you got to be able to, like, be a fool in front of other people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like even the other day I'm doing an intimate thing, you know, on camera, and there's, you know, 40 people on set. When you think about it, like, whether it's a PA or it's, like, the four operators who are, like, all up in your grill, you have to be able to, like, be very naked and vulnerable in front of people.
Yeah.
And so that's what's great about acting school is most programs, they break it out of you.
Oh, you figure out. Whether you like it or not.
You'd be crying in acting class. You don't know why. Like, that's literally, and you do know why.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
so they told you to breathe a certain way. Like, you are like, that's literally, like, acting school at its finest.
Yes, it is.
And you need it. But I do think that some of the, like, the industry knowledge, and, like, I think me and you similarly, like, we didn't go to, I wouldn't say our schools are necessarily the most finger on the pulse in the city. Like, you know, I mean, they're not, A, they're not in the city.
Yeah.
And B, like, the teachers are fantastic, but the lens that they're looking through, like, a lot of my teacher's lens is the lens of when they did it. And so
which is maybe, you know,
20 years ago. Right. So they're telling me about how audition, I mean, you look at their headshots, they were black and white. You know what I mean? And, like, they know, I mean, they know that much. That, like, that's not that.
But, and
like,
not to say that, you know, there is a lot of information that will always stay true. There are a lot of constants. But you're right. You go to school to learn the craft, technique. Maybe, you know, you learn a little bit about work
and
ethic.
Work ethic, you know, and the industry, it is. Etiquette. But,
yeah. Once you're out, it's like street smarts.
It is going out and learning about,
like, you have your book intelligence, but then you have to go out and learn how to survive.
It is truly so true.
Yeah.
So I almost feel since I've moved here that I had to do I had to give myself another year of college. I did singing, you know, I was at Steps. I got my Steps card. I was like, honey, I got it. You know, I had to do it. I had to take acting class, like, because, like, you think you know it, and then you're like, oh, like, even, like, things might be, even I've taken, like, acting the song classes, and I felt really confident, and then I started getting, like, TV auditions, and was like, oh, God, this is different.
Yeah.
Oh, no, and so got my AS in a film class, you know what I mean? Like, that's what you have to always be still nurturing that, that, like, core thing. But even a lot of those, like, even if you go to Actors Connection and you're gonna do like a workshop with a casting director, because like, you know, we'd be targeting people, let's just say, like, so my example, I went in for a show and I was like pinned for this show, and pinned is when there's like maybe like three or five people who are, they tell you don't accept a job for the next week or for the next month, whatever it is. Like, they might even pay you to not accept it. They might say, I'm going to give you $10,000 to not accept a job until November. Something like that. That didn't happen to me. I didn't get $10,000. But I was pinned for a show.
Yeah.
And so the casting director that pinned me, he was really, really great in the room. And I was like, well, he obviously liked me enough to pin me.
Yeah.
So it's because it was for like a major. So I was like, you know, the chances of getting something like that is so slim anyway. So just getting pinned was a big deal.
Right.
So, long-winded, take a class at Actors Connection with this casting director to foster the relationship and to, like, see more of, like, what is he about? How can I learn from him?
Brilliant. I mean, that's good. You did the research. I think that's pretty amazing. First of all, shout out to Actors Connection and Shori Walker.
Oh, my God, Shori Walker.
We love Actors Connection. And places like that, you know, who offer workshops and classes. And just about, I think you were talking about, you know, you going in and taking classes and staying consistent and honestly always being a student. You know, you're always a student, you're always learning, you're always honing in
exactly,
on your craft.
Exactly.
Yeah. What would you say is like a mantra for you, or like a philosophy that you live by for your career, or something that you
for everything?
Just a, I you say, know, what are some? We've all got some, you know. All got a handful.
Mine actually stems from my fourth grade teacher, Miss Maurer. Holla. But the quote is, you live by the choices you make.
Mm.
And so I think of that all the time. So, like, I think about it today. I literally went to eat a Reese cup and was like, live by the choices you make. If you eat this Reese cup and then you go weigh yourself and you're bigger, you just know that's because you ate that. Like, it's your choice.
Yes.
Do you think about it? I think about it every day, about everything. So, like, if I choose to wake up earlier, my day is longer. Mm-hmm. If I choose to sleep in, my day is shorter. Like, that's you. I'm in control. And that's such a, like, super true. What's one for you? That. I want to hear one.
Oh, gosh. I think I have one similar to that. I was trying to think of it. I can't think of it right now. But one that I do love is, I don't put shit on stage. I love to say that because, you know,
I like that.
It involves like the hustler in me. It just like needing to, I refuse to look stupid, you know, doing something that I knowingly and, you know, and constantly on a daily basis pursuing. And so it involves constantly staying up on myself.
Girl,
and, you know,
you black excellence.
Okay.
You don't put, no, but you are excellent. You know what I mean? You can just tell. I'm not even needing to see people perform. I can sense when someone is excellent.
I can definitely sense.
I said that with Young, Gifted, and Black. Yeah. Half of these people, my friend Kendrick, who's literally texting me right now, I literally said to him, I was like, I realized when I was sitting there in the sound check that I'd never seen him perform but he's my audition friend. I'd only ever heard him outside the room.
Yeah.
And so I had no idea if he was going to be a good actor. Uh-huh. I didn't know, like, his range for the song he was saying. I was like, I hope he has that number. Like, yeah, I didn't know what was going to happen.
Yes.
But I did know that he had excellence and, like, had that energy to him.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
Nobody was going to put no shit on stage. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm.
Honey, I sense that with you. You know, I sense that. The energy, I don't even know how to describe it anymore. It's just, I describe it in different ways. But, like, so you know,
you have that for
you
sure.
See someone walk into a room and you're like, oh, that person. Mm-hmm. They know what's up. They know what's up.
Nothing can shake. If you have that is super true. Like, nothing can, you can't, you, like, actually, like, won't feel as bad.
Yeah.
And you will do better in your auditions if you know if you're, and that comes with, like, the preparation,
sure.
doing the classes, practicing.
Sure.
But, yeah, that's definitely a thing.
Yeah. Like, and I love surrounding myself with
those people. You
can tell
who has that energy.
Yeah, yeah.
You can tell who doesn't.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to be that person's friend.
You are. And you are that person.
We build each other up.
So that's why I talked to you before an elevator.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Okay,
like, you're that person who I was like, oh, yeah. That's why I would even follow you on social media from not knowing you. Everybody who I know who knows you, too, like, you have that energy to them. And, like, just when other people talk about you, it's like, oh, yeah, like, it's a heightened energy that a lot of, and luckily, the acting industry, a lot of people have that energy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, sometimes the grind can knock the energy out if you don't nurture yourself.
So true.
If you don't feed your soul, you know?
So true.
Because we all, I think all that we want is to create. Like, we want to be creators. And, like, so when you are here and you're not creating, whether it's acting, creating a role, you're not writing a song, or you're not performing the song you wrote, you're not reading the play you wrote is in your room and no one has heard it,
mm-hmm.
you're not even getting feedback, you're not, it's just, like, that's what makes you worn out and, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you have to get out there. You
gotta go.
Go find the hustlers.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. It's so true.
Hustlers attract, yeah.
You know, I want to share a way if people are ever interested in meeting other creatives.
Please plug this.
So Iris Productions is a production company that I am one of the founders of. I'm the director of outreach. So I run the social media and partnerships. And it's this company is compiled of all actors. And we have, honestly, last year, a group of us, who had, some of us were mutual friends. Most of Iris, I only knew one person in it, Carly Rose.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of Iris brought me in or was bringing other people in, and we sat down and we're like, we want to make a production company that is inclusive and diverse and has diverse people a part of it and produces work that, you know, pushes the diversity and inclusivity.
Yeah.
But additionally, a great thing about Iris that is making us a different company from we produce this show.
Yeah.
Is, like, we have programming that is designed to, like, cultivate and to network with other people. So one of our programs is called Incubate. And so that happens either once a month or this, sometimes it's kind of like a thing called an iSeries. So we're developing, or maybe interactive, I don't know, every month. But, like, we have a playwriting series this month. We have the producer series this month. You know, so, like, each month there's going to be something that's networking. So if you follow us on our social media, which is Iris Prod NYC, or like Iris Productions on Facebook, you can hear about these things. So, example, we have an interactive tomorrow. That's just us meeting at a bar, but it's all creative people.
Yeah.
And sometimes we might have a prompt we're talking about there. So, like, the setting the dates, that was something that happened there. So even if you don't know someone, it's a great, you have your drink there and you're just like, so what are you setting a date for? And then you find out that this person is actually a videographer and they are trying to make a movie. And you're like, oh my God, I do sound. I can help you. Like, and so that's a great way to network. And then our programming called Incubate is another similar, but what makes this different is Incubate. It's a $10 charge. You get to come. And it's kind of like a group circle where you get to share what you're working on and get feedback from people. So, and everybody in the room is creative too.
Yeah.
And so you're sharing that you wrote this musical and this is what the musical is about. Maybe you even have a piece of it to read to them, and you get, like, in the room feedback on it. And then everybody in the room is offering knowledge of, like, okay, why is your web series not finished? You know, how can we help you get your web series finished? Mm. And that might be that there's somebody in the room who has a skill and they can help you do that skill, and you met them networking.
Yeah.
Or it might be like, you know, like, well, you're blocked in your writing because you didn't realize that the character was coming off this way. So by you sharing this here, you know, so there's definitely opportunities in that. So definitely follow all things with Iris Productions because it's doing big things. We have a lot coming in 2019. So I'm super excited about that.
I can't speak about it right now,
but a lot of 2019 is going to be big. Doing these things has brought me so much joy, a joy that I didn't realize that even not performing could bring you so much joy.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Olivia, you're doing it. You're doing it.
You're trying. We're all trying.
It's all about putting out the effort, and it's an inspiration to see you passionate. Yeah.
You're doing it. You look at you doing it. I love that. I will listen to this podcast. Everybody listen to this podcast. Subscribe, like, whatever. Give it a review. Because a podcast, we need more in the city because we be on the train. So, you know, a homegirl needs a podcast.
Okay, all right.
But B, that's just my last little, it's not shade, but this is an industry that right now it's run by older group of people, a certain race, probably hashtag white. You know what I mean? Like, let's just be honest. Like, we need voices out there that are different. Yeah. You know, I need a black female voice who's not 45 with 80 Broadway credits. You know what I mean? Like, you're interesting to hear from, I think, because like you're giving us like a realness. You're representing who you are, and there aren't who's representing your age group right now and doing a podcast and is a musical theater artist. Like, truly, do you get what I'm saying? Like, no one. Like, really, and if they are, there's like five of them. I mean, when you think about it, and that's not even just a black thing, just in general, like. This is the time for our generation to start to, like, to take things into our own hands. You know, that whole preparation meets opportunity is success. When the time comes for us to be taking those leader roles and for us to, and I mean, maybe we're taking them right now by doing this and by doing your own shit, you're making yourself your own leader.
Yeah.
But it's like we have the opportunity to really make a change. Show up, show out, don't put shit out on stage. Yes,
okay.
I love it.
Olivia, this has been amazing.
I love this.
This has been amazing.
I'll come back.
Thank you so much.
After you do it, like, please. You know, after we book stuff.
Right. We'll be back. It'll be like, all right.
Truly.
Where were we then? Where are we now?
I'm so excited.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Bye.